Which is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Words taken from today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you look in your Roman missals, your hand missals, they will correspond, no doubt, to what is in the altar missal, and that this 18th Sunday after Pentecost falls after the three ember days of September. As the Sundays after Pentecost move about, for it depends on when Easter is celebrated, the idea is that, at least officially in the Missal, this Sunday comes after those three ember days. And indeed, sometimes, in certain years, that is exactly what happens. So that after we have celebrated Ember Saturday the day before, today we are celebrating the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. The Ember Days are days of penance that fall four times each year. They sanctify the seasons. And Ember Saturday is the most important of them, because it was on that day that the sacrament of holy orders in former times was always conferred, culminating with priestly ordination. And so the thoughts at the conclusion of that Mass on Saturday, and indeed the next day, those thoughts were filled with the idea of the power that had been given to frail men to take part in the eternal high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the sentiments of Christians in time past would have been the same as those of the multitudes today. The multitude feared and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Since the New Testament, all men, indeed, have been given a share in God's saving power. All men can give grace to others. For in case of necessity, any person can baptize another and thus give him that sanctifying grace which he absolutely needs in order to be saved. All baptized men and women are able to give each other the sacrament of matrimony, which is not absolutely necessary for salvation, but is necessary for all men and women who wish to live together and carry out God's command to increase and multiply. Speaking of the grace of God which is among us, St. Augustine teaches, he who created you without you will not save you without you. None of us had a part in the work of our creation, but now we must all freely cooperate with God's grace in order to be saved. And sometimes we are called even to confer that grace upon others. And for no one is this more true than for those men who have been called to participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. To those of us who are in danger of death and gravely ill in body and soul, it is the priest alone who can come as a healer. And today the gospel reminds us that there is not one, but rather two sacraments by which the priest of Jesus Christ forgives sins committed after baptism. Of course, there is the sacrament of penance, the great tribunal of mercy, and we all must get in line in order to have our sins forgiven, which we have committed after baptism. We know that if we are conscious of grave sin, we must place ourselves on our knees before Jesus Christ, before the keys of the kingdom of heaven, in order to obtain that forgiveness which will bring us back into the state of grace and allow us to return to the other sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. But there is also the sacrament of extreme unction. This sacrament has the power to heal both body and soul. But we must never forget that the primary effect of the sacrament of extreme unction, which works on any soul that does not place an obstacle to it, is the forgiveness of sins, even mortal sins, if the person is too sick to have recourse to the sacrament of penance. When Christ encounters a man in this sacrament, his first words are not, "Arise and walk," but, "Be of good heart, son. Thy sins are forgiven thee." We do well to review exactly who is able to receive this sacrament, for the question comes up often enough. Most priests have had the experience of being called when a small child is gravely ill and being asked to give him the last rites. Well, if we are talking about an unbaptized baby, one who is scheduled to come to church soon enough to receive the sacrament of baptism, but who is held in the hospital with some grave complications, yes, then you most certainly should call the priest. You should call the priest to come and baptize the baby. And if it concerns a baby or small child who is already baptized, or in that same case, after the priest has baptized the baby, and there is some grave complication or illness such that there is a serious doubt whether the baby will even survive, well then, yes, the priest must be called, but not to give the sacrament of extreme unction, for there are no actual sins to forgive in this case. Rather, he must be called to anoint the baby, not with those oils that bring the sacrament of extreme unction, but rather with holy chrism in the sacrament of confirmation, so that if that baby or small child should leave this world, he would go crowned with those graces which mark him as a soldier of Christ and thus increase his heavenly glory. What about the case of those who have the use of reason and who are in otherwise perfectly good health but have to go in for a very serious or dangerous operation? In that case, it is perfectly fine to call the priest, but the appropriate procedure is for such a person to make a good confession, attend Mass, receive Holy Communion, and receive a blessing from the priest, but not the sacrament of extreme unction. The sacrament of extreme unction is for those with the use of reason who are gravely ill. It suffices that it be some danger of death. The Church does not teach that you must wait until the point of death. No, it suffices that there be some danger. And in that case, you should call as soon as possible. For a sick person, ideally, should receive 3 sacraments. First, he should make a good confession, if he still has the use of his reason, if he is still lucid. Then, receive fervently Holy Communion, and then finally be anointed with the sacrament of extreme unction. And of course, if such a person had never been confirmed, now would be the time to do it. Sometimes priests are dismayed to find out that people wait until the last minute to call for the anointing of a loved one, when the priest easily could have been called earlier. If you are debating, when should I call the priest, think, what will allow my loved one to receive all these sacraments? If I wait longer, will the priest simply have to rush to the hospital to find them already incapable of confession and communion? Anointing is a sacrament of the living, and the living should, whenever possible, be properly prepared for it. Time was when, in a Catholic hospital at least, everyone in the hallway would kneel as they saw a priest passing with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those days are long past, but at the very least, all friends and family who are present with the sick person should kneel as the priest enters the room. And if it's a house call that he's making, the room should be clean and ordered. Same for a hospital room, as much as you can. And a small table with a white cloth and candles should be ready for the arrival of the sacred oils and the most adorable host. A priest should not have to ask someone to turn off the television or music when he arrives. As soon as the sick person knows that a priest is on the way, the room should be placed into as much silence as possible so that he can prayerfully prepare to receive our Savior's healing power. During the administration of the sacraments, aside from leaving the room for confession, all who are present should be kneeling and praying silently. It is the will of Holy Mother Church that her children, in witnessing these sacred ceremonies, should have kindled within them something of that fervor which came upon the multitudes when they beheld our Savior and High Priest about his work of healing body and soul. They feared and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Yes, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his Son among us to institute the Church of the Holy Sacraments, through whom we have the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Amen.